down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the serve up! That's a penalty!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton.
Did you miss me? I'm back. This is the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 now. B-Man, we're simulcast again.
Yeah, I guess, have you not been on since the Space Cowboys season ended?
I haven't been on for about a week.
Yeah, you had a hell of a trip.
Oh, we won't even talk about that. Actually, yeah, we will later on.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's no way you're not getting some complaints off your chest here before the show's over at 10 o'clock.
I got some beef!
You got some grievances to air with these people.
713-780-3776, 737-80-ESPN. That is your two-way sports talk hotline on the HRMP listener line, the text line. On X, Twitter, at Pete Creighton 1, Brian McDonald on the other side of the glass, the master controls. At Sacked by BMAC on X, Twitter, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975 and take us with you everywhere you go because you know you wanna. Yeah, you do. Right now, for some reason, I'm watching Memphis and Tulane. If you could pick two teams I could absolutely ZFG about, Memphis and Tulane. Absolute ZFG.
Oh, you didn't know they're airing the ZFG Bowl? I guess you didn't get that memo. You were gone for a week.
Before I left, this handy-dandy little gadget known as a remote control for our brand new TV had vanished. But now it is back.
Do you want to know where it's been?
As long as it wasn't stuffed up somebody's posterior.
No, yes. Guarantees. No guarantees.
But yes, that is the only thing. As long as it wasn't in somebody's cavity, we're okay with that there. Now,
yeah, not a great sports TV night. Not a lot going on.
Well,
the baseball had to go ahead and finish early.
I tell you, I'm gone for a week. The Astros are already right where I told you they would be in February.
The Astros Invitational?
And in March. And in April. And in May.
I'm sensing a theme here.
And in June.
Yeah.
And in July.
August.
And in August. And in September. And now here we are in October, and they are right where I told you they would be, hosting the 7th annual Astros Invitational. Were there any doubts? Because I will tell you, if you had doubts, you're a bad person.
I think we heard some doubts on these airwaves.
You're a bad person if you had doubts.
Well, Patrick, they didn't clinch the division to the last day. I know you're not talking about the division, but it was a little dicey down there down the stretch after losing, it was 8 of 9 to the A's and the Royals.
Even if they had been a wild card team, they were always going to be right where they are right now.
Yeah, exactly, because obviously in baseball, you want to win 90 games or fewer. That's the only way you're going to advance to one of the championship series.
And listen,
if you win more than 90 games, you have no chance of advancing.
Congratulations to the Arlington Junk Grabbers for being invited to the Astros Invitational. It's taken them a lot of hard work to blow the division on the last day of the season and then beat up on some JV teams like the Tampa Bay Rays, who have not had a whole lot of postseason success, like the Baltimore Orioles, who have had no postseason success whatsoever. But now you have to play the varsity. Now you have to play the team that is here all the time. See, the Astros are a team loaded with players with tons of postseason experience. The Junk Grabbers are a team that, imported a couple of guys who have some postseason experience, maybe even have good postseason experience. But it's a couple of guys. There's a lot more guys on that team who haven't had any postseason experience or haven't had good postseason experience, which means advantage. If I can borrow a phrase from my very good personal friend and also the greatest mic man in the history of microphones, Paul Heyman. Now the Junk Grabbers have to take on the reigning, defending, undisputed world champion, Houston Astros. As we said, the seventh annual Astros Invitational.
If I may also borrow a line from the GOAT Paul Heyman, eat, sleep, Astros advance to the ALCS, repeat.
Eat, sleep, kick Arlington's ass, repeat. Because that happens pretty much every year,
yeah, too. 9-4 in the regular season this year.
Do you realize the last time these two teams played at Minute Maid North? The Astros...
39-10.
The Astros hit more home runs in 3 days than the Junk Grabbers scored runs in 3 days.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
There were 16 Astros homers, but only 10 Junk Grabber runs. Now, the Astros know this. And the Junk Grabbers know this. And maybe losing the division was something that Bruce Bochy, Hall of Fame manager, let's not take anything away from Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy hired by the Junk Grabbers, but not a Junk Grabber. Maybe he was able to use that to motivate his team to maybe play better against what clearly is the AL least, because they had the least combined wins for any division in the postseason.
They had, what, one win between them?
They had 0 wins.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you know, you're right, you're right. Yeah, the Rays got swept, Orioles swept.
They had a big, yeah, fat donut.
That checks out, yeah. 0-7.
Oh, AL least.
It's the first time in the Astros Invitational, the other side of the Astros Invitational, every single year has been an AL East team. But so this is a little bit of foreign territory, seeing a non-AL East team invited to the Astros Invitational.
The first time the Astros and the JV team in Texas, the Kid Brother franchise, because remember, the Astros, they come to Houston in 1962. The Junk Grabbers don't get here until 1971. The Kid Brother franchise, first time they're meeting in the postseason ever, mainly because, well, the Junk Grabbers usually don't make it to the postseason.
Well, that and the Astros weren't in the American League until, what, 2013?
And when the Astros did get to the World Series, they did not face the Junk Grabbers, who maybe were not the Junk Grabbers yet, but once a Junk Grabber, always a Junk Grabber.
I think that goes without saying, yes.
Like I say, once a Nick, always a Nick. Once a Junk Grabber, always a Junk Grabber. And I'll tell you what. Remember how listening to the games against the Twinkies, you know how sometimes it seemed like the announcers were upset when things didn't go the Twinkies' way? Like when Jose Urquidy did the little squat on the mound, then got up and threw the pitch, and the batter has this like check swing.
Yeah, everyone was dumbfounded by that.
And the announcer's like, he didn't even get a hit. Oh. He was so exasperated that the Twinkie player didn't get a hit because they clearly wanted the Twinkies to win, and we all know why. 3 magic words. What are they, Brian?
Orange team bad.
What if I told you national media, even still, orange team bad against the Junk Grabbers? Now, I get it. Maybe the Junk Grabbers going to the World Series would be a story, right? 2 years ago, they spent $1 billion on Semien and Seager, and they won a whopping 68 games. So this past offseason, they spent like another $1 billion. And they brought in Jacob deGrom and Nate Eovaldi, and then deGrom's arm fell off exactly as I told you it was going to. They bring in Max Scherzer. His arm fell off exactly as I told you it was going to. Nate Eovaldi, his arm also fell off because that train is never late. Yet, here the Junk Grabbers are, 90-win team. From 68 to 90 wins, that is a massive. 20 plus 22 is a monster increase year over year. Give Bochy and the boys credit because that is a monster increase. But everybody's like, oh, you know, they went from 68 wins to 90 wins, and then they're in the World Series, and Bochy coming back, and in his first year, here he is back in the World Series. Bruce Bochy leading the horrible Junk Grabbers and their 68 wins to the world. So everybody wants to write the story about the Junk Grabbers and Bruce Bochy. Nobody wants to write yet another story about Orange Team Bad. What if I told you that The Athletic, and look, to be fair, The Athletic is probably one of the most even-keeled publications nationally as far as how much orange bashing gets done. They try to even-keel it, especially since they basically broke the whole story with Mike Fiers. They've tried to even-keel it ever since then. But The Athletic put together 23 writers who work for The Athletic, 23 writers. And of those 23, over 60% are picking the Junk Grabbers to beat the Astros. And I have the receipts. Brian, would you like to hear some of the, we'll call it, explanations for why the Junk Grabbers are going to beat the Astros? I'm going to give you a bunch. I want you to tell me, I want you to rate each one.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to rate them as far as
how believable they are?
Like credible.
Okay. Gotcha.
Mid horse bleep.
Okay. 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 All right. I'm with you.
So, all right, so let's go credible, plausible.
Credible, plausible, horse bleep. Okay, gotcha.
Okay, those are the three genres they can fit into. Credible, plausible, horse bleep. Katie Wu. It's the managerial showdown of our dreams. And if Max Scherzer is cleared, it'll be the pitching showdown of our dreams. There's no true front runner, but it's hard to ignore how dominant Texas has been this October. When you're hot, and there's no hotter team than the Rangers.
Horse bleep. I mean, no team hotter than the Rangers. I mean, the Diamondbacks have swept their way through. The Astros have lost one game and had a blowout during that series against the Twins. Phillies are certainly white hot, beating the best team in baseball, the Atlanta Braves, and I believe sweeping their way through the wild card series. Yeah, everyone swept their way through the wild card series.
BMAC, are you trying to use facts and logic?
Yeah, so horse bleep. The Diamondbacks, the Phillies are. The Diamondbacks and Phillies haven't lost a game, Phillies have lost one game. So between the Diamondbacks and Phillies, they've lost one game. Astros have lost one game. Every team's white hot coming into the championship series. So horse bleep.
Okay, Eno Saris. The Rangers lineup is inevitable. Just as importantly, the Rangers are using the Nationals' roadmap of slimming the pitching staff down to the very few trustable arms. And it just feels like we're going to get a Max Scherzer, Willis Reed moment in this series as well.
Okay, that's even more horse bleep. One, if Max Scherzer was going Willis Reed, they would have to win the championship. It's not just getting to the World Series. Two, the Nationals' game plan, as if every team wouldn't try to use only their best pitchers in the postseason. I think that's the goal of every team. I mean, they have to throw four starters out there. And guess what? It's not like the Rangers are just going to use two starters over and over again. No, they're going to probably throw out Andrew Heaney at some point. That's not slimming down the rotation to just the very best pitchers. So, no, that's complete horse bleep as well. And as far as the Thanos line of the Rangers lineup being inevitable, 39-10 last time these two teams faced in Arlington. So,
would you like to take a gander, Brian McDonald? Would you like to take a gander at naming the team that has scored the most runs in baseball since June 1st?
I'm going to guess it's the Houston Astros.
It would indeed be. But, Brian, the Rangers are inevitable. Sadahev Sharma. I don't know if I said his name right. Is it insane to pick against the Astros in the postseason? Probably. But it's also boring to pick them and the Rangers are rolling.
You know, I'll give that one a plausible because he admits right up front that he's probably wrong. But I felt that before, and I made this comment to somebody on Twitter when someone picked the Twins for basically the same reason of, like, we're just tired of picking the Astros. I got tired of picking the Yankees in the 90s. I got tired of picking, Alabama football and Duke basketball at different points, the Patriots. Like, it's boring to pick the team that's inevitable at the end. So I'll give that one a plausible. I'm fine with that one.
Man, I got tired of picking Michael Jordan every year.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. I'm not saying the take is a good one, but I understand where he's coming from.
I got lots more takes for you to grade.
Okay.
Credible, plausible, horse bleep. Next.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey guys, you want a gym with 24/7 access, no contracts, and no hidden fees? Well, I do too. So let me tell you about Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery. It's a new kind of gym with 100% digital app-based membership. That means you join fast on the app, and you can start working out today, and you don't have to suffer through any of those horrible gym tours. You don't have to deal with any sales calls, and you don't need any appointments to get started. Each Iron 24 facility is fully equipped with high-quality cardio, machines, free weights, and their signature recovery rooms with infrared saunas. Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery has 4 locations around Houston, with more opening soon. Members get universal 24/7 access to any location. And for a limited time, participating Iron 24 locations are offering new member ESPN listeners 2 weeks free with zero down when you join with the Iron 24 app. So what are you waiting for? Go to iron24.com/ESPN. That's iron24.com/ESPN and get started today. iron24.com/ESPN. Iron 24, fitness and recovery. They got one coming to Sugar Land soon. Just not too far from me.
Hold on. You live in Katy. How is Sugar Land not too far from you?
Because the other locations are like Pearland and Humble and Conroe. Jeremy is close to one. I think he's the Conroe one. But they don't have one in Katy yet. So Sugar Land is the closest one. Plus, I spend a lot of time in Sugar Land. You know, I mean, my big brother does live in Sugar Land. So usually when I'm going to meet him, I have to go meet him on his turf.
See, I didn't even know your brother lived in Sugar Land.
Well, my big brother, as in Nate Griffin.
Okay.
I don't have an actual biological big brother. I have a biological kid brother who I actually got to see for his birthday in New York this past weekend. He's now 41. But my actual big brother, Hollywood Nate Griffin, who was kind enough to have me on Fox 26 this morning multiple times. In case you're wondering why my hair is done and I'm not wearing a hat, that's why. All right, B-Mac, let's pull up the receipts here. And we got to get back to credible, plausible, or horse bleep. Here's Chad Jennings. The Astros have been so consistent every postseason, it's hard to bet against them. But the Rangers have invested heavily the past few years, and it feels like we're seeing all of that investment come together and pay off at the right time. And there's just something about Nathan Eovaldi in October. That guy feels like a difference maker to me.
That's borderline between horse bleep and plausible. I mean, they did make an investment, but so have the Astros. I mean, so have the Phillies. I mean, there's teams.
So did the Mets.
Yeah, exactly. Just because you spend money doesn't mean it always necessarily works out. Hello, Yankees.
Hello, Ray. Hello, Angels.
Hello, Angels. Hello, yeah. Dodgers, obviously. So, that part is horsebleed, but it doesn't really matter. I could see the argument that it's all coming together, maybe, because they are playing well. I don't want to say they're not playing well, but the idea that Nathan Eovaldi is just like this can't-miss Curt Schilling with the blood on his sock level pitcher, I miss me with that. No, I mean, Eovaldi's a good pitcher. He's had his moments, but I would not say he's been consistent. Certainly his second half, partly due to injury, wasn't very good, and I think this they're just playing at a level right now, or playing against a level of competition right now with being the Astros, and then if they were to advance, let's say the Phillies, where they're facing a level of offense that even if Eovaldi's pitching well, they're facing offense is good enough to overcome good pitching, as the Astros have done since, I don't know, 2017. They've beat up a lot of really good pitchers, including, basically everyone they faced since 2017. I mean, famously in 2017, they knocked out three of the best closers in the game. They've done it to Chapman multiple times. The Astros have proven they can overcome terrible pitching. So I'm stalling.
Can I ask the senator to yield his time back to the party whip here?
I'm stalling a bit because I can't decide if it's horse bleep or plausible. It's right in between. I'll lean plausible on that one.
All right, here's Sam Blum. I picked against the Rangers the past two series, and they haven't lost a playoff game yet. Their offense is clicking. The maligned bullpen has been good in the postseason. There can only be one star in this state, and it'll be the Rangers.
Come on. That's such, man. So what, Lone Star Jake, Lone Star State joke? I mean, it's almost as original as Houston, we have a problem. At least he didn't go there.
Cheesy horse bleep.
It's cheesy. I'm going to go horse bleep. Yeah, their bullpens look great, but they haven't faced an offense like the Astros. The Astros, again, 39-10 last time these teams faced in Arlington. They've been on a good roll, but the Tampa offense is not what they've seen so far, and neither the Rangers haven't faced an offense like the Astros yet in the postseason. So I don't buy necessarily what the bullpen has done so far.
Tyler Kepner, this should be a great matchup of two Lone Star State teams with Texas-sized confidence to match.
Ugh.
Since Bruce Bochy never loses in the LCS, 4-0 with San Diego and San Francisco, I'll give his Rangers the edge in seven.
I hate when people point that out. Like, if it'd be one thing if, like, Bochy was 20-0. That would be something to point to. Like, okay, maybe there's something here.
How many at-bats did Bruce Bochy have in any of those LCS series,
yeah,
by the way?
Exactly. Like, okay, he's 4-0. Great. That doesn't why does that mean he's going to win this year? Why does a Giants series win in 2012 mean anything for 2023?
And how come when you lose before getting to the LCS, that, like, doesn't
matter? Like, that doesn't count? Like, I mean, yeah, exactly. So, no, that's complete horse bleep. I hate when people cherry pick things like that is a reason to pick one way or another.
Here's Jason Stark.
Oh boy.
I know I've seen a Bruce Bochy team lose a postseason series, but it's hard to remember. He always has his team so ready to play. And this version of the Rangers is the most complete and dangerous version we've seen all year, I think. So Texas in seven in a great series.
I'll give it plausible because at least he said seven. He's kind of cherry picking from things Bruce Bochy did a decade ago. So that part of it I don't like. That's a little horse bleep, but he picked it in seven. I'll go plausible on that
one. I love all these guys who have everything to say about the Rangers and not one word about the Astros.
I get where you're going because that's a bit of Orange Team bad, but in a way that's kind of a compliment because they are the inevitable team. It's 7 years around the ALCS, the Astros Invitational, if you will. So Jordan's amazing. Altuve's a Hall of Famer. Verlander is one of the greatest of all time. There's not a lot to say about the Astros. They're just really good. It's a compliment.
Here's Grant Brisby. Bruce Bochy isn't a wizard, but he's an excellent manager. I've seen him win the championship with the Giants. Dusty Baker isn't a wizard, but he's an excellent manager. I have not seen him win a championship with the Giants. You might think this is lazy analysis, and you're right. But there's no sense in pretending that you can escape confirmation bias. I say lay back and enjoy it. It's a hell of a toboggan ride. Pick the Rangers.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I mean, did he give a in how many games as part of his prediction? Just the Rangers? Okay, because he didn't give that, I'll have to downgrade it, but I'll give a plausible to that one. He didn't really try to make some, reach and cherry pick some stat that doesn't really matter or point out something that happened 10 years ago. So I'll give him a plausible.
I'm going to give you these two together because their arguments are mostly the same. Levi Weaver and Melissa Lockhart. Levi, I caught flack for incorrectly picking the Orioles to beat the Rangers, so I'm not making that mistake again. The Texas offense has looked unstoppable so far this postseason. The Astros are the team to beat, but the mojo has been on the Rangers' side so far. Melissa, I've picked against the Rangers in the past two series. I won't make the same mistake thrice.
Repeat that first part about the Orioles from our first guy. I want to expand upon that. So
Levi,
if you don't
Weaver,
mind.
I rightly caught flack for incorrectly picking the Orioles to beat the Rangers, so I'm not making that mistake again.
No, I'm sorry. It was the next part, the very next part.
The Texas offense has looked unstoppable so far this postseason.
There we go. All right, full stop. Look, the Rays pitching staff had been decimated. The Orioles never had a great pitching staff this year. They were winning games with offense. Name one stud starting pitcher that you'd qualify as an ace on basically any other playoff team for the Orioles. You can't do that. So, yes, the Rangers have a great offense. They had a great run differential all year, and you could definitely make the argument they have the best offense remaining in the postseason. You can make that argument. But to say that their offense is on fire because they beat up on the Rays injured staff and whatever the hell the Orioles were throwing out there, which wasn't on par with the rest of the postseason field, is not a reason to say the Rangers are rolling. So that's complete horse bleep.
All right. Does this one, you don't care, does this one sting? This one comes from Ken Rosenthal, who, of course, was part of the two-man group that broke the Astros cheating scandal. Rosenthal, picking the Rangers. Just feel it's their time, whatever that means.
Don't care.
This guy is one of the best baseball reporters in the country, and that was his analysis.
Yeah, it's lazy. It's lazy. Like, that falls right in the idea of it's their time, like, or their due falls right in line when people give you a reason why a team will win as, quote, they just want it more. It's just the laziest analysis you can give, so... Yeah, if that's what you're going to throw up there, I don't care. It doesn't sting.
S-A-W-F-T.
It's horse bleep analysis, but I don't care.
This is what I mean
it's not even analysis. It's just a feel.
This is what I mean by orange team bad is so pervasive.
You know what a lot of that was? It was just hope. They're hoping the Astros don't win. There wasn't a lot. I mean, even there were guys in there that you mentioned and ladies as well that gave reasons as to why they thought the Rangers were the better team. But everything was either, oh, Bruce Bochy did this 10 years ago, or the Rangers offense is on fire. Meanwhile, they faced no pitching so far. There wasn't any solid analysis in there. So it all comes back to, well, we just hope the Astros don't win. That's what I heard through all of that we've done in the last two segments is they just hope the Astros don't win.
Is this orange team badism or institutional orange team badism?
I think it's the Astros have become the 90s Yankees and everyone wants to see them lose. I think that's a large part of it. Now, the Astros need to get the third title to fully become the 90s Yankees, but this feels like, oh, God, we're tired of rooting for Bill. We don't want to see Bill Belichick and Tom Brady win again. We don't want to see Derek Jeter and Jorge Posada and all those guys win again. Let's see something new. That's what this feels like. Is that people cheer for you to get to on top of the mountain. As soon as you get there, they try to tear you down. They're tired of it, and that's what this is.
Well, you mentioned something about the third title that I think is very important. Because to me, the last dynasty in baseball was the Yankees. But a lot of people will say the San Francisco Giants were the last dynasty in baseball when they won three titles in 5 years.
Yeah, was it 8, 10, 12, or 10, 12, 14?
They won every other year.
Yeah, it was even years, yeah.
But they never won two in a row. If you win two in a row, and what essentially is 3 in 7 years in which you've gone to 5 World Series in those 7 years, but you have a back-to-back, to me, you are more of a dynasty
Yeah, that's
than the Giants were, because you have back-to-back titles.
That fits, I think, the classic definition to me for a dynasty. And I'm willing to argue that the Astros are already one. I'm willing to make that argument. But the classic argument to me for dynasty is at least three titles, and there needs to be a back-to-back. The Yankees certainly did that in the 90s. They had what? They had four titles, like 96.
4 in 5 years, three in a row.
Right, so that's clearly a dynasty. Obviously, Lakers in the 80s, Celtics in the 60s, Patriots won the 3 of 4, Cowboys won the 3 of 4. Those are dynasties to me.
There was a time when you had three-peat to be considered a dynasty.
Yeah, you could.
But as teams, as leagues expanded.
Yeah, three in a short span, at least one back-to-back to me is a dynasty. So the Astros haven't technically done that yet.
You know, a lot of those, three-peats were done before leagues really expanded past 22 teams.
Yeah.
Once they kind of got into 25, 28, 30, 32 teams, it became really hard to do three in a row. But if you got, say, two in a row and then another one somewhere in that immediate vicinity, you counted as a dynasty like the Cowboys. You had two in a row, you're off a year, and you had another one.
Yeah, and a lot of those teams, like when you go back to the 60s and 70s and before, a lot of those leagues weren't allowing free agency either at that time. So if you had the good team or you bought the good team like the Yankees in the 20s with all those legendary Hall of Famers, you could just hold on to them forever. There wasn't any free agency. So it's certainly a different landscape to me that makes dynasties now even more impressive than they were before when they are pulled off.
So I think you're right on that. If they were to win a second title in a row and make it three titles in the
three
seven
titles
year span,
in 7 years with a back to back plus two other trips, that's
and all five trips to the World Series.
Yeah, that's a
so
dynasty.
You won five pennants and three world titles in a 7 year span.
That's a dynasty.
That's a dynasty.
That's right now. There's going to be debate. Like, I think a lot of people in Houston would say they already are a dynasty, but outside of the loop, outside of the Houston city limits, I think people would argue against that. You get the third title, including a back-to-back, five trips to the World Series in a seven-year span, plus to the ALCS and every year of the seven-year span, at that point is undeniably a dynasty.
I just saw Mickie James was trending, and I had to check to make sure she wasn't dead.
No, she's wrestling tonight. Impact has a card. She's facing Trinity Fatu, the wife of one of the Uso brothers. I can't remember which Uso brother she's married to. But there's an Impact card tonight.
I just had to make sure she wasn't dead.
No, she's still alive.
I need Mickie James to still be alive.
She's facing, I believe she's facing Trinity Fatu for the title. I don't remember which one is champion. I think Trinity is. I don't follow Impact that closely, but I saw something about it on Twitter earlier today.
Just as long as she's still alive, I'm okay.
Sounds like you're a big fan.
I am a big fan of Mickie James. I love Mickie James. Now, I learned some things about some coworkers today. New coworkers. Relatively new coworkers. But I learned a couple of things about them today listening to their show. And I kind of want to unlearn them. But since I can't unlearn them, I have to share with you what I learned next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're your daddy.
Well, I feel like I'm your daddy.
You're not my daddy.
No,
my daddy.
No,
I'm your daddy.
You ain't my daddy, boy.
Yes, I am.
No,
you are not our daddy.
I
am your daddy.
Not a daddy.
Late Night Houston Sports Talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by MedUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, shout out to our man Kobo. Man, you all know Kobo, the owner of Kobo's Q, down by Minute Maid Park. Guy makes amazing food. Make sure you go stop by Kobo's.
Best quesadillas in the city.
Get yourself those brisket mac and cheese quesadillas.
Everything there, man.
The birria tacos. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
If I could speak to 97.5 management for just a second. We haven't been out to Kobo's Q in what feels like forever. It's probably been like 6 months. It feels like my entire lifetime. And we need to do another remote there soon because I love to engineer those remotes and eat the Kobo's Q out there because that is the best job I have at the station.
Let me see what I can do about that.
Yeah, help me out.
Let me see what I can do about that. Because you know what? Not a better dude in the city than Kobo, and he makes some of the best food that you're ever going to eat in your life. That is a foodgasm.
Yeah, and man, he even the stuff that's not on the menu. Like there was one time, and this is not on the menu to my knowledge at Kobo's, but one time when I was working Soccer Matters, he brought up some house-made gumbo that he made. Oh. It brought that up here for Glenn and me and a few others, and it was fantastic.
I never had gumbo till I moved to Texas. Really, I'd never had any kind of...
And you wondered where it had been your whole life?
Of Cajun food type of thing. And yeah. I have found that...
Good gumbo is hard to beat.
I like gumbo.
Etouffee?
Love etouffee.
Yeah, etouffee's good.
And I'd never had these things. And when I came down here, now I've got a couple of places right by me that are Cajun places now that... Oh, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, my grandma, before she passed, made gumbo every Christmas. That is something I miss. That gumbo, when it's done well, is one of the most amazing things you can have.
I've lost 50 pounds. I've kind of leveled off. And I'm trying to figure out how to kickstart that whole thing again. But I have a major problem. I like to freaking eat.
about to say, there's a lot of good food in Houston. That's part of the problem.
Eat. Damn it, there is stuff to eat around here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Kobo's is definitely a place. You if you like food, you need to go to Kobo's. Now.
Especially these next, 9 days with the Rangers series coming. Kobo's is going to be lit.
And then when the World Series comes to town, because that is inevitable.
Yes.
By the way, also shout out to my boy, resident Titan fan, who we made a bet, I think like May in the season, over who was going to win the AL West. And he called up like a week or so before the end of the season to tell me what his favorite beer was. And said, all right. And then when they choked it away, he texted me to tell me, he's like, just – tell me what beer you want, and I will drive in from Beaumont and bring it to you. And I said, how about you drive in from Beaumont, and we'll go get a beer and some wings. We'll go watch a game. We'll have fun and hang out. So we agreed to that. But shout out to him, because you know what? This is huge for him. He's getting to see his – this is the best Silver Boot series we're ever going to get.
Oh, yeah.
So a little shout out to him as well. I learned some things about a couple of my coworkers today, some of the newer coworkers today, and I'm a little disturbed by it. First, Josh Beard, and look, I know Josh a long time. Josh and I, hey, and BMAC, actually, all three of us, at the same time, all worked at the flagship once upon a time. And, you know, we all kind of knew each other, and when we all wound up here at ESPN 97.5, it was like a little reunion. But I learned something about Josh Beard I did not know about previously. Apparently, he has this extreme fetish with dongs.
If you missed it earlier in the show, Josh decided that he wanted to go ahead and make your ears bleed.
It is a
or give you a reason to love something.
It is a tribute to Yordan Alvarez. I had a dream that he hit 19 home runs in the ALCS, and all I could think about was all those dongs. All I could think about was all those home runs, those home run shots, those dongs that Yordan would hit.
Stop.
People, that's what
he's thinking about. Yordan's wiener.
No, I'm not. A dong, a home run. That is, I don't know if you know this, Michael, but that is common baseball vernacular. Don't know if you know that.
I think Josh kind of came out of the closet a little about here, and he likes dongs.
I mean,
I think he likes them in his face.
I'm not sure that's the that's something his wife wanted to hear, that his dreams were about Yordan dongs. But
I don't know, maybe she goes out and buys replica Yordan dongs and starts slapping them around with them. Maybe they're into that.
Are we in safe harbor? Maybe we should tread lightly here.
Look, people do funky stuff in their bedrooms.
Yeah,
I'm just
saying to quote Walter White, tread lightly.
I'm just surprised that he said it at 2:40 in the afternoon.
Okay, you know what? Good point. Yeah, Josh should have even treaded even lighter.
Probably should have waited until he got on this show.
Yeah. Josh, if you're listening, call in. You know the number. Tell us more about your dreams. Who else have you had dreams about?
Apparently,
which Houston athletes have you dreamed about? 713.
Apparently, Josh has a fetish for dongs. I also learned that Michael Connor, and now I have met Michael Connor maybe twice, so I don't know a whole lot about him, but he is a soulless ginger. And that kind of immediately
that I knew
that puts us right in the expect something gross and horrible about him to be true.
Yeah, I worked with Michael for a short time when I was at what was then Clear Channel, so I knew him to be soulless. I hadn't seen him in probably 8 years, but I couldn't imagine his soul suddenly reemerged. That, I don't think that comes back once it's removed.
Apparently, he has very intricate knowledge of what ass tastes like, because he said candy corn tastes like ass. Now, where do you stand on the candy corn debate? Are you a fan of the candy corn, or are you not a fan?
Well, first off,
of the
I would like
corn?
To tread lightly. I will repeat that again. Second, I actually used to like candy corn, but my taste buds matured, and I no longer seek those out.
See,
I don't think it's. I never understood why people thought they were the worst thing in the world. It's basically just straight sugar. But I never buy them anymore. I haven't done so in probably 20 years.
I have never been anti-candy corn. I used to be more pro-candy corn, but as you said, candy corn is pure sugar.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what year my taste buds would have matured beyond that, but certainly before 20, I was pro-candy corn, and as I've matured and my taste have refined, so to speak.
Do you have...
I no longer buy them. They're not the worst thing in the world, but I would no longer buy them willingly to eat.
You have a young child.
I do. She's 2.
Does she watch Noggin?
Well, we used to subscribe to Noggin. Yes, but we used to subscribe to Noggin, and then we realized we could get around it by just downloading stuff on YouTube, so we canceled it.
So has she made you watch the candy corn song?
I don't know of that. No, she mostly watches Peppa Pig and a few other things, but I haven't seen the candy corn song.
So there's a candy corn song.
Is it earworm?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like Baby Shark level earworm?
No, it's not that fast a beat. Okay. It's a slower beat, and it's got like a little like Halloween style video to it.
Sure.
But once your kid hears it, they're going to sing it for like a month. It's going to happen.
I look forward to that.
And
this must go back a ways, because your children are not of that age anymore.
No, but they watch Noggin.
Okay, all right.
And Moose Moose and Z were still around way back then. In fact, okay. Noggin rebranded as Nick Jr.
Right. Well, there was still a Noggin app, which is what we had.
And
but
then rebranded again with Noggin on the app.
Right.
But the channel used to be called Noggin, and then it rebranded as Nick Jr. And as Noggin, we watched lots of things like Dora the Explorer and Blue's Clues. And they had Moose Moose and Z, and they sang the candy corn song.
Yeah, no, I haven't been subjected to any of those. For my kid, it's pretty much just Peppa Pig, and then like there's this YouTube channel called Simple Songs that she loves, and
is that the girl who plays the guitar?
Yes.
and does the buzz buzz yep. buzz buzz? Yeah, yep. I don't remember what those songs uh-huh. are called, but
yeah.
I remember not just my children, but the mother of children,
yeah,
running around the house singing the song, like, I can't get the damn song stuck out
no,
of my head.
I have the B song stuck in my head. The lady, by the way, is named Katie. That's how much I've seen these videos. I know exactly who you're talking about, and her name is Katie.
And these videos, some of these videos are like 25 years old.
Yeah, I don't know how long they've been around. It's more than a couple of years. I mean, I've only seen them over the last 2. But
there was a song done by a guy who looks and sounds just like the guy who does 1-877 cars for kids.
Ugh, talk about the worst earworm ever.
He sounds just like... I'll tell you what, we all said that's the worst sounding commercial.
But it worked.
That
because
is
going to
be the most
it.
Successful yes. commercial. Because I bet you they paid nothing for that.
I believe it became so popular, SNL parodied it.
That has to be the cheapest, like, return on investment, like, times a zillion.
Oh, yeah, that commercial couldn't have cost more than a Happy Meal.
But yeah, they had a guy, and he sings a song, and it sounds just like that. So yeah, it's the great thing about having kids is you watch kid shows, and the things that you hear on those kid shows will stay with you forever. Just like finding out your coworkers like dongs and know what butt tastes like. Yeah, you know, 2 things that I'm never going to relate to.
And all I could think about was all those dongs.
No, 2 things I'm never going to relate to. I'm never going to be the guy, you know, who has, you know, a bunch of dongs smacking him in the face. Like,
and all I could think about was all those dongs.
And that's all I could think about when I heard Josh say this, is the gif or the gif, whatever you want to call it, of the girl.
It's gif, Patrick.
Getting like 900 hot dogs to the face.
I need you to learn one thing from tonight's show. It's GIF.
It's a GIF.
It's GIF.
It's not a GIF.
No.
Good, because I hate when people say GIF.
Okay, there
GIF
we go.
GIF is peanut butter.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. If we learn nothing else today, please, it's GIF.
So, just that
yeah, no,
that
I know, I know the GIF you're talking about with all the hot
have,
dogs.
And just have, like, all, like, dongs just bang right
And all
face.
I could think about was all those dongs.
That drop is never going away.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's brave of Josh to admit that he has dreams about.
And all I could think about was all those dongs.
But I don't think I would have done that. Because immature people like you and I will do things like this.
And all I could think about was all those dongs.
Late hits.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Everyone loves our chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS.
Got traded here. My whole thing was I wanted to retire a Sixer. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to be here and retire a Sixer. And front office didn't have that in their future plans. You know what I mean? So, like, it's literally out of my control. It's something that I didn't want to happen when the system being in this position. But, you know, I got to make a decision for, you know, my family. I understand this is a business. You know what I mean? So it's just as simple as that.
That was James Harden earlier today via NBC Sports Philadelphia. Man, we really have to stop giving microphones to guys who are going to get on it and talk absolute bull cookies. James Harden. Oh, I wanted to
that
be
was
a Sixer
more,
for life.
That was more horse bleep than all those things we graded earlier.
But, you know, now I have no trust. James Harden's full crap.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same guy that burned bridges with Russell Westbrook.
Look,
with
this is
Paul,
who he is.
Kevin Durant, Daryl Morey, the entire Rockets franchise. I mean, no, at some point, James, it's not everybody else, it's you.
Pay me the most money. No? Fine. I quit.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
me what I want. Fine. I quit.
How long was he in Brooklyn before he wanted out?
A week.
A week? And then he wanted out to Philly? And then
it sure felt like a week, right? I mean, but him, Kyrie, and KD played, what, 26 games together?
It was less than a full season. I know that much. But, and then he wanted out to Philly, and then he wanted out of Philly to come to Houston, and then basically from what we've heard, Houston told him no thanks, but no thanks.
Thank you, Ime Udoka. I love you.
Yeah, that was one of the best decisions he's ever made.
He quit on the Rockets, had a press conference.
Multiple.
Like, I ain't playing with these guys. He just quit.
I mean, technically, people say he quit once, but we watch some of those seasons, especially that playoff series against the Spurs. He quit multiple times on the Rockets.
But he publicly quit on the whole team.
Yeah.
In a
yeah.
press conference, what, 8 games into the season?
Yeah, I mean, he quit on playoff series with the Rockets. Like I mentioned, the Spurs series. He quit coming into a season. Remember that season where he showed up fat and got Kevin McHale fired? So he quit on that season. And then, like you said, he had the press conference where he officially quit before he finally got traded to Brooklyn.
He quit on the Nets. I mean, KD was on the IL, I think, 12 days when Harden demanded his trade because, well, he didn't like Kyrie Irving. Nobody likes Kyrie Irving.
Okay, I'll give Harden a pass on that one because Kyrie Irving is very unlikable, yes.
And now, I mean, it's not like James wasn't making money. He just wants to get...
He's over $30
million. But he wants a Supermax, and he's not a Supermax player.
Not at age 34.
And did he look like a Supermax player in the postseason last year?
I mean, he had what Harden's always done. That game one against Boston last year, I believe it was in the second round, he was amazing.
He had one big game, and then he sucked.
And then he was terrible in games two and three, and then I believe, I'd have to look at the stat line, but I'm pretty sure he was really good in game four of that series as well.
But that's what MIA in game five.
That's what Harden's always been. He had those moments with Oklahoma City before it came to the Rockets. He had those moments with the Rockets. But he would also have disappearing acts. Never forget the big comeback against the Clippers in, I believe, 2015 or 16.
Oh, that was one of the biggest reasons why
he was
showed
on
up
the
fat
bench
the next year.
For the entire comeback. It was everybody else but James Harden. That was part of why he was so mad
that
at Kevin
McHale.
That was
Josh Smith and Corey Brewer.
The Headband of Brothers, yeah.
And
Dwight
Harden
Howard
was so pissed that he was on the bench as that all went down That was a big part of why he showed up the next year
right.
fat. He wanted to get Kevin McHale fired.
Because
he was pissed off he sat on the bench.
Yep. And McHale was right.
He was right. I mean, look, if Harden had actually attempted to show up in that game, he wouldn't have been on the bench, and they wouldn't have been down as big as they were. They were playing the young guys. They were playing the bench guys, and they were just running up and down the court.
Joel Blank has told the story in the air, so it's not out of turn. But Kevin McHale apparently told Joel Blank after that game, like, well, this is going to get me fired. He knew James Harden was not going to handle that well. But he did what he thought he had to do to win the game because Harden, you know what kind of game you're getting from Harden pretty early in the game. I mean, Harden is not somebody that you have to wonder what he's going to be, you know, in the fourth quarter. He'll tell you who he's going to be pretty early on because his disappearing acts show up quite early. And by that point in that game, Kevin McHale knew what was going to happen. If he put Harden on, they would never got to a game seven. They wouldn't advance to face the Warriors.
And think about what that did for the Rockets franchise, right? Because they were, 11 games into the season after going to the Western Conference Finals. They had just given McHale a five-year extension in December.
Right.
And here they are 10 months later firing him with 4 years left on his deal. Because James Harden said, I don't want to listen to him anymore. And rather than Les Alexander and Daryl Morey tell James Harden, son, you better grow up. They said, all right, well, you know, fire Kevin and, you know, we'll just bring another coach in because, you know, that always works.
I mean, it bears mentioning again. Think about that. James Harden in the Rockets coming after a trip to the Western Conference Finals. Harden's so mad about that alleged slight. That he got it, not only got a coach fired, but tanked the Rockets' entire season because he showed up fat and played so poorly that they ended up being the eighth seed that year.
And that didn't go well.
And getting knocked out in the first round. He tanked an entire season and got a coach fired because the coach did what we had to do to win a game. An elimination game, keep in mind.
And ran Dwight Howard out of town, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they bring in Chris Paul, and that worked great for almost the whole year.
It was like two seasons, I think, that it was okay.
No, but. Well, it was in the first year, they number one seed, they got the Warriors on the ropes.
Right.
And then Paul blows his hamstring. And the next year, Paul's still not really right. Him and Harden are going at it the whole year. Harden's basically slighting Chris Paul like you're washed, you're a nobody anymore, you can't run, you can't do anything, and runs Paul out of town. Who they sold for a nickel on a dollar because they gave away, four years worth of draft picks and Chris Paul to get Russell Westbrook?
Well, that's part of the disease of James Harden is because everything becomes so public that the team dealing whoever he doesn't want to play with away has no leverage.
So it was.
And then he brings his buddy Russell Westbrook in and he gets tired of him after a season.
This is who Harden is. And wherever he winds up going, the same thing is going to happen within 2 years. This is who he is. And anybody who takes James Harden, you're the fool, and it's going to be your blood. All right. Let me tell you about our favorite sportsbook and casino, and that is BetUS.com. You know what? The only sportsbook and casino I endorse, BetUS.com, celebrating their 30th year as a sports betting service offering up to 30 risk-free bets. That's right, 30 risk-free bets. It's called Bet Protect. And if that's not enough, they also offer the industry's best sign-up bonus, 125% sign-up bonus at BetUS.com. Need something more? How about this? Sign up with crypto and you'll get a 200% bonus. Need to know how to sign up with crypto? Call them. 1-800-MY-BET-US. 1-800-MY-BET-US. Learn about all the bonuses, all the special offers. Learn how to sign up with crypto. Learn how to get that bonus. Get started today. BetUS.com. BetUS.com. 1-800-MY-BET-US. BetUS.com. Sportsbook and casino where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassy.
John Stockton says, hey, look at me. I'm a little teapot. I'll run right up your dress. But then Karl Malone says, sweet Sassy Molassy, you are going to pay a lot.